Mute, start video. Why is it still coming up? It's really sore.
I don't know, but you gotta fix that. You call her.
There she is.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Quincy.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Is that Heather talking to her dogs?
Yep.
Yes, I hope so. I hope they come on screen.
Are they going to bark, Heather?
Hopefully not. They just broke through my door twice in the last 5 minutes, so.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And we can see your ceiling fan still.
I can't see myself, so.
Ooh, oh. Yeah, okay, now we can't see it.
Was it making you dizzy?
No, it's
not on.
It's not very well kept, let's say that.
Oh,
it is. Goodness. It's fine.
I understand you can't reach it probably. That's why it looks like that, but you know.
Wow.
It's getting rough here.
I was gonna say, maybe we need to get out of quarantining, Randy.
Just fine.
5 p.m. We'll go ahead and start the meeting. I'm going to offer the invocation, and then I'll read the script, and then we'll move on into the agenda. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come and serve our citizens. Lord, we just ask for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray again that you simply heal our land, Lord. You know this virus that's going on that only you can heal. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to find a cure for it. Lord, I just pray for our citizens, pray for our county, I pray for our state, I pray for our nation, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just give us wisdom tonight as we conduct the business of the county. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, the first order of business, I'm going to read this agenda script again, so just bear with me. Tonight, we're going to have our third virtual meeting using communications media technology pursuant to executive order number 20-69 issued by the Office of the Governor, Ron DeSantis, on March 20th of 20, and Wakulla County's emergency rule for such meetings. This meeting has been duly noticed with information regarding how to participate in this meeting, which can be joined by either video or just by phone. We also included a tutorial on Zoom, our media platform for these electronic meetings. In our notice for this meeting, I want to provide some brief instructions for the public on how to address the board. These directions are also shown on the slide you will see on the screen if you're participating online through the Zoom app. Citizens addressing the board. If you wish to address the board during the meeting, it is recommended that you request to speak during the beginning of the meeting as follows. Citizens to be heard. If you would like to speak on this portion of the agenda, you will need to send a chat prior to this section or raise your hand during this section. To send a chat, click chat in the Zoom app, and to raise your hand, click raise hand in the Zoom app or dial *9 via phone. We'll be taking up citizens to be heard immediately after the approval of the agenda. So if you want to address the board at that time, please send a chat or raise your hand now. Agenda items. If you would like to speak on a specific agenda item, you will need to send a chat or raise your hand. At the beginning of the item being discussed and prior to a motion and a second on the item, to send a chat, click chat in the Zoom app, and to raise your hand, click raise hand in the Zoom app or dial *9 via phone. When a citizen is allowed to speak, make sure to state your name and address. When sending a chat, please be sure to specify what item slash tab number you're requesting to speak on. For voting, we'll do a roll call vote. I will call upon each individual commissioner to vote on each action item. Quasi-judicial items, which we have several tonight. Prior to speaking on these, please state your name and address for the record. The county attorney will then administer the oath to each individual being recognized to speak. I'll now start the meeting in accordance with the agenda outline, and the first thing is the approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve it.
Mr. Chairman, we have several additions to add on to the agenda. I'm just going to run through them quickly now. They're not all mine, but we're going to recommend that they all be put under general business. The first is an amendment to the ESG contract, amendment number 6. The second is requesting a letter to the congressional delegation regarding CARES Act funding. The third is an item regarding a civil suit against the suspended property appraiser. The fourth is an item regarding an ethics complaint against the suspended property appraiser. The fifth is a letter of support for DISC Village. The sixth is an agenda item regarding board direction on reopening of county government and governmental functions. And the seventh and final one is to get authorization from the board for certain of your committees to hold electronic meetings in the immediate future.
Okay, with those additions, are there any others that we need to add on tonight?
I'll modify my motion then, Mike.
And the second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Randy and seconded by Ralph. Is that correct, Ralph?
Yes.
Okay. Any more discussion? Commissioner Hess, how do you vote? Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merritt?
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And I'll vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0. Next item is citizens to be heard. Jessica, do we have any citizens?
There is no citizens to be heard.
Okay.
I'll move approval and consent.
Second.
A motion and a second to approve the consent agenda that was moved by Commissioner Merritt and seconded by Commissioner Thomas. Okay. Any more discussion on the consent agenda? Mr. Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas? And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0 to approve the consent agenda. Next item of business is general business. Item 11. Yes. I guess we'll just start with 11 and work down.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This request select one at-large member and approve the resolution reappointing and appointing members to serve on the Parks Advisory Committee.
I'll make a motion to approve the reappointments and appoint Elizabeth Carter as the member at large.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Merritt. Sound like a motion seconded by Commissioner Thomas. Any more discussion? Any citizens to be heard?
There's no citizens to speak.
Okay. No more discussion. Mr. Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Item 12.
Yes, this agenda item requests board direction concerning the BOCC's operational plan regarding employee salaries during the nationwide COVID pandemic.
I'll move option one, which is to continue provided administrative leave through June 7th, 2020.
Okay, I hear a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Commissioner Messersmith. David, can you expound on a little bit for the public's knowledge what we're doing here?
What this is, there are 18 employees that we have for different reasons. Some of those folks are staying at home that we have paid them, have medical issues that they do not need to be around folks in the work environment. Others were where we downsized and we throttled back operations. They were employees that we no longer had anything to do, really. And so therefore we've been paying them basically to stay home due to the fact of the COVID. And this is, we've got it in the budget to pay them, but also that's what it was. And this is also related to the item that we're going to be bringing up here shortly as well.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, sir.
I think we've got to start phasing employees back in. I think I would prefer anyone that is at risk or has a compromised immune system or is over 65, then we continue this option. But we start allowing a phasing back in of healthy employees that that can work and want to work and want to get back to work. I just don't know that we need to continue keeping everyone at home. At some point, if they're not coming in, then, I don't think any of our employees are non-essential, but at some point we've got to get them back to work.
Isn't that what we're discussing later on in the reopening plan?
Yes. Yes.
And I agree with what Ralph just said.
And I think we're going to discuss that more, Ralph, as we get on into the meeting. And I agree with
you. Very good.
Okay, so no citizens to be heard on this item, Jessica?
No, sir.
Okay. No more discussion by the board. All in favor? Can't do it like that. Commissioner Hess?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merritt?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0. Next item.
Okay, the next item we'll take up is the ESG contract amendment. This is requesting board approval of amendment number 6 to the amended and restated agreement for operations, maintenance, and management services between Wakulla County and ESG. As the board knows, the county is currently under contract with Talquin Water and Wastewater Inc. to transfer the Riversink water system to Talquin on April 30th. Since part of ESG's scope of work is to operate the Riversink water system, this contract amendment will remove the scope of work and the associated costs from their contract amendment.
What was the dollar reduction amount, Heather?
David can speak to that more.
The dollar amount was reduction. It was going to be a little bit more than what we thought, but they were using an existing wastewater treatment plant operator to run the system, using them 2 hours a day to run the system. So we took $3,200 off. That was for the supplies that they were using, and that's all they wanted to do. But we negotiated a deal with them that they would not request a 2% increase, and we would lock their contract in for next year at the price minus the $3,200, and that's a savings of right at $28,000.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Commissioner Merritt. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Thomas. Any citizen to be heard?
No, sir, not on this item.
Okay, any more discussion by commissioners? Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Next item.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this item requests board approval of a letter to Wakulla County, Florida's congressional delegation from the Congress allow CARES Act funding to go directly to all local governments and to modify the CDBG formula to address the needs of responding to the COVID-19 public health emergency.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Merritt, seconded by Mr. Thomas. Any citizens to speak?
No citizens.
Okay. Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Messerschmidt?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item is to request board direction regarding a potential civil lawsuit against Brad Harvey, who is the suspended property appraiser of Wakulla County, for recovery of certain public monies. As the board is aware, the last fall and again just recently, Wakulla County and the Wakulla County Clerk of Court reported to various state entities alleged irregularities and possible crimes involving the finances of the property appraiser's office. On April 17th, Mr. Harvey was arrested and charged with various counts of dealing with public monies in excess of $200,000. Also on April 17th, Governor Ron DeSantis suspended him from office pursuant to Executive Order 20-105. He has not been tried or convicted of any crime and is innocent until proven guilty. Although the Wakulla County Property Office is a separate constitutional office that the county does not have control over, the county is legally obligated to fund that office's annual budget. Accordingly, any theft or misuse of public monies perpetuates a fraud on both the county and the county's taxpayers. If eventually convicted of these alleged crimes, Harvey would be obligated to pay restitution to the county. However, as you all know, criminal case results are not certain. They're not within the county's control. They can go on a long time, and also they can be subject to plea deals that may minimize the amount of ultimate restitution that would come back to the county's taxpayers. Accordingly, what this item is just to get the item before you. You can make a decision tonight, you can put off making a decision, but what we're looking for is some direction from you on whether the county wants to seek a civil lawsuit to recover any alleged misappropriated public monies. Possible civil claims the county could bring include common law conversion and civil theft. If shown under the civil theft statute, the county could recover treble damages and also could be recover its attorney's fees. However, keep in mind, any lawsuit, even if you get a successful civil judgment, is only good if you can actually recover on that. And so if your defendant is judgment proof for lack of funding or due to bankruptcy or something like that at the end, you could have a judgment that you're not able to execute on.
And we could have attorney fees that we have to pay then also.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's, you know, there are pros and cons with both approaches. We wanted to bring this item to you to start your discussion. And if you want to give direction tonight, we will proceed accordingly.
Okay. Commissioners, what's your thoughts?
Is this the best way to get our money back on this in this situation?
Well, it would be a good way to get your money back if you have a defendant who's able to pay the money back at the end, and that's obviously not something we have knowledge about right now. If it goes to criminal trial or to a plea bargain, restitution is typically included in that. But again, that's not within our control. That is within the control of the criminal justice system.
Chuck, I'm just a little worried, like Heather said, to put it in Wakulla County terms, you can't get blood out of a turnip. And if he can't, even if we win, and I don't know what the attorney fees would be, let's say they're $20,000 to get a favorable judgment, then we're out $20,000. The taxpayers are, and we can't get anything back. I'm more inclined to see how the criminal suit goes.
Well, we can always bring that forward if the criminal suit doesn't get us our money back.
You can, yeah. I mean, and you have some time on that. We'd have to obviously monitor the statute of limitations period. I don't know how long the criminal process is going to take, but we could monitor that for you all.
The ideal outcome, I guess, would be that we would get restitutions via the criminal procedure, and then we're not out any money trying to collect the citizens' money back.
I agree, and that's the best case scenario. But I don't want to, you know, if he gets convicted, but he pleads off the restitution, I still would like to get our restitution, especially if he does get convicted.
I agree, Chuck. I agree.
So if we have an opportunity, if we need to make sure we keep a record on when we have to file this to make sure that we're still standing at that trough when it comes forward.
Agreed.
Mr. Thomas, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm definitely in support of pursuing the civil action, but I do think there's wisdom in waiting, and let's see how this unfolds. I do have a question. I don't know if anyone can answer this question, but Heather or David, do we have any idea? Brad has been represented during the process of this FDLE investigation. Have taxpayers paid for his attorney? You know, up throughout this entire process, do we know? I know he managed his own books, and we may not know that answer, but certainly would like to know if the citizens are covering the cost of his defense or have been up to this point.
I've asked, we talked a little bit this afternoon, I asked Greg to include that in on the auditor's look into from October 1 of 2019 to current. To look for that very thing.
Okay. Thank you.
But I don't know the answer to it other than that.
Thank you.
I'll just make a motion to table this item then. And then
I'll second.
Okay. So I assume, Quincy, I was going to ask you your thoughts. So I assume your thoughts are concurrent with everybody else's and to just sit idle until we see what happens with the criminal.
Absolutely.
Okay. I tend to agree.
Let's make sure we motion. The statute of limitations.
Yes, agreed.
All right, so the motion is just to table it. Do we have a second?
I seconded it.
Okay, you did. I'm sorry.
That's
all right. Okay. Any citizens to be heard, Jessica?
No, there's no citizens to speak.
Okay, all for the motion of tabling it. Commissioner Hess?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0 to table it. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me pull that up.
Is this the next
item? No. The next item is requesting board direction regarding filing of an ethics complaint against Brad Harvey. As we discussed it, I believe it was our last meeting, there were some irregularities uncovered when the auditor presented between the filed W-2s and the property appraiser's Form 6 state financial disclosures. We did include the Florida Ethics Commission on the letter that was sent to our state partners after our last meeting requesting further investigation. However, typically the Florida Commission on Ethics requests a sworn under oath complaint be filed in order to open up an inquiry into ethics violations. And so this item is merely to get board direction regarding whether the county wants to file a formal complaint regarding those financial disclosures.
I may add that I did get a letter as a chairman from the Ethics Commission stating just that if they won't see it until the board directs an ethics complaint to them that is signed by us.
And so I would note for the board's consideration that you know, the Ethics Commission has a standard form. It could get sworn by either, I guess the chairman would be the correct person to sign that. There won't be any attorney's fees associated with this item if you want to proceed.
Now, Heather, is this an item that any individual citizen in the county could do themselves?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. But I think it would be wise for the board to send one on behalf of the Board of County Commissioners, representing all the citizens.
I'm certainly not going to oppose it. I mean, I'm not, you know, I think he's in enough hot water personally, but I wouldn't oppose it if somebody wanted to bring it forward.
I'll make that option. Option one, Mr. Chairman, approve the BOCC to file a formal complaint against Harvey with the Florida Commission on Ethics.
I'll second it.
All right, any more discussion? Any citizens to be heard, Jessica?
No, there's no citizens.
Any more discussion by the board? Hearing none. Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0, and I'll sign that if that's okay with everybody on behalf of the board.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Next item?
Mr. Chairman.
Is the Disc Village item, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I'll just read. I think all of you should have a copy of this, but the background is, and this came very late on Friday, so I think everybody's just kind of, that's why we're having so much of this stuff coming on at the last minute, but everybody else is behind as well. But the Disc Village has submitted a grant application to the Bureau of Justice Assistance for support of a proposed project of improving reentry for adults with substance use disorders. And our county is one of those three in our judicial circuit in the panhandle of Northwest Florida. So this is just an MOU, and it's been executed between DISC and the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office, which is attachment one, that provides the purpose, roles, and responsibilities relating to this proposed project. There is no budgetary impact. It's simply a letter of understanding. So
motion to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve by Mr. Merritt, seconded by Mr. Hess. Any citizens to be heard?
Yes, no, sir.
Okay. Mr. Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
I'll vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0. Thank you all. Next item?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this item requests board direction on a partial reopening of Waukesha County BOCC offices and services in response to COVID-19. As you're all aware, April 1st, the governor issued Executive Order 2091, which basically is what we're operating under currently. That executive order will actually sunset April 30, if not amended. Therefore, the staff thought it would be a good idea if we go ahead and throw out a plan out there for you guys to discuss and to give us direction on. And I'll just, if you don't mind, I'll run through the plan real quick. County staff in consultation with the Sheriff's Office and County Health Department and Emergency Management agreed that Waukesha County could initiate a partial opening of Waukesha County operations and services on May 1st, 2020, if the governor allows the Executive Order 2091 to sunset or amends it to loosen its criteria. If so, the following could occur. Open Shell Point Beach and Mashes Sands for essential activities such as walking, fishing, swimming, and or running, and continue compliance with the governor's executive order concerning social distancing and a group of 10 or more. That's Executive Order 2092. Staff recommends an order to limit the amount of people at Shell Point. We enforce enforcement be set to allow only folks within vehicles that can park at the designated beachside parking of Beatty Taft Drive be allowed on the beach. Parking at Mashes Sands Beach will be limited to parking designated at the end of the road, roughly about 20 spaces. Number two allows employees placed on administrative leave to return to work unless they fall under the guidelines set forth for the most vulnerable populations as defined in the governor's executive orders. Employees that can be isolated in the function of their job duties will be allowed to come back if they agree, i.e. road and bridge greater operators would fall under that criteria. Number three, open the library to allow curbside book pickup and returns and allow library staff to establish operating times as necessary to facilitate services to the public. Open animal services to resume pet adoption during its normal operating hours. Number five, county facility rentals will remain closed. Number six, county restrooms at parks and boat ramps will remain closed. Newport Park will maintain the status of no further campers other than those registered and camped prior to April 1st, 2020. Number eight, open all BOCC offices to the public other than the library. State distancing measures will be put in place. The following are a list of offices: employee support services, probation services, extension office, and this would be just for the office only, no programs at extension office, road and bridge, public works administration, wastewater operations, revenue collections, the building department, planning and zoning, community development, planning and zoning, code enforcement and housing services, communications and public services, recreation, this would be the office and the Medarc ground, park grounds. They can begin maintaining those, but we will not have any programs at this time. Veteran services, library services, curbside pickup only, before public safety, fire rescue services, and animal control, intergovernmental affairs, physical operations, tourist development, and park facilities will return. Staff will bring back an agenda item as needed to address new or expired state and federal executive orders.
Motion to approve with one change. Okay. I'd like us to see the bathrooms open, especially if we're going to have Shell Point Beach open. I think the bathrooms need to be open at the beach.
A second.
A motion by Commissioner Merritt, seconded by Commissioner Messersmith.
David and I talked about the bathroom thing today. I think he's okay with it.
Any citizens to be heard, Jessica?
No, sir. There is no citizens to speak on this item.
Hey, commissioners, any other comments by commissioners?
Yes, so, Mr. Chairman.
Opening the beaches, are we going to have them, just open sunrise, sunset?
As of right now, it is. We don't have a time other than what's already within our ordinance, which is sunrise to sunset.
Okay. And the people that are going to have to clean those bathrooms, they're okay with having to clean those bathrooms?
That's we will have to walk our way through that. Yes.
I'm thinking, Chuck, I mean, somebody's going to take their kids out there. They're going to want to, the kids got to use the bathroom.
I understand the issue, but also there's, it's a really good place for transferring a disease when, if it comes down, and if people are coming down to us, if we get tourist traffic, it's a way to get people to reduce.
I mean, our employees, we are ramped up to be able to handle that and disinfect properly. So I feel like we can do it effectively and safely.
Yes, a couple items. I agree with what was said, the bathrooms staying open. I'd like to recommend a couple changes regarding the parking at Shell Point. Is let's identify parking in all properly designated parking spaces and not limited to just the beachside parking, and specify no parking in the ditches or the right of way, but I don't see any reason to close otherwise designated parking spots if we're going to open it. And also, if we're going to open it, let's open it today. Let's not wait till May 1st. If we've already come to the conclusion that it needs to be open, now's as good a time as any. And I would probably do the exact same thing with the employees returning. I think if anyone is compromised and they don't want to return, then we certainly need to accommodate them. I have no problem with continuing to work at home as the county administrator can accommodate that. But other than that, if we're open, let's get it open again, is my opinion. Also, my last item, number seven, the Newport Park, let's open it back up as well and not limit it to people that were already there.
Isn't that a state ordinance? A state?
No.
Limitation?
No, sir.
The Newport, is that what you're asking about, Commissioner Haas?
Yeah.
I believe that was locally done.
Now, the executive order from the governor that's set to sunset, how does it tie into to Ralph's suggestion, which I'm not necessarily adverse to?
Well, until April 30th, you're only allowed to have essential services or activities. But so the beaches.
Other communities have already opened up their beaches, and they're lessening the effect of this. And so I think that we can do what we need to do to whatever we think we need to do.
I mean, I'm all with Ralph on that. I mean, it's not like the disease is going to go away on May 1st. So, David, what do you think? I'm fine with that.
I told everyone, Abby, I'm good.
All right, well, I'll modify my motion then to make it effective immediately.
Hold on a second. What are we? I'm not clear what motion's on the floor then.
The motion on the floor is to accept David's plan with the caveat that the bathrooms be opened. But I just modified my motion to have his plan go into effect basically as soon as he can make it happen.
And also, are you going to make your motion to incorporate Commissioner Thomas's other changes?
Which is the Newport Park?
And the designated parking at Shell Point.
Newport Park, I'm fine with. I don't know about the park. I don't know enough about the parking, Ralph, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't ever go there. So
it's not that much more parking. It's not that big a deal.
Okay, I'll add it to it then.
Commissioners, the governor's order limiting operations to essential services and activities is in effect through April 30th. I'm not saying that affects the beaches, because it does not affect the beaches, but it affects the certain other aspects of the county government.
Well, whatever part of your plan that you can implement and keep within the executive order, David, or obviously we can't violate that executive order, but if you can do what's in your plan, then do it, is what I'd say.
Well, and I reread the executive order, and I don't see anything in there that identifies any specific part of government employees as non-essential. And so I see that as a local judgment call. I think they're all very essential. And if we have employees that aren't essential, then we don't need them. And I do believe we do need them, and we need to get them back to work.
Now, of course, Ralph, the library will still be closed. They'll still offer curbside service. So it's not okay, a full opening up. We're just going to implement David's plan now instead of later.
I support that.
They are still doing some things.
That's right. There's a partial. There's not a full opening.
Okay, Ralph, I mean, I'm fine with your plan. I modified my motion for it.
Thank you.
Okay.
You could second it for me.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion by the board? Any citizens to be heard, Jessica?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The first citizen to speak is Doug Brendan.
That's good.
Hi, go ahead, Doug.
Yes, hello, commissioners. I just wanted to say...
Doug, can you give us your address, please, where you live?
Yes, sir. I'm at 5 Pebble Court at Shell Point Beach.
Okay, go ahead.
No problems on the beach opening, but the problem that we've had in the past has been lax enforcement of the sunrise to sunset hours. And frequently we have to call the police to get help, but we've just not had any patrols on a regular basis to come through and do sweeps on these people that spend the night at the beach. Is there any way that you could help us out with that?
David, do you hear the gentleman's?
Yeah, prior to us closing the beach, actually the Sheriff's Department had wrapped up those patrols there to run folks out after dark. We will make sure that they continue that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All you have, sir. Okay, next speaker.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the next speaker is Sue.
Hey, it's Sue Damon, 138 Walker Creek Drive. And I live at Shell Point too, Doug. And I think it's terribly irresponsible of our government to open our beaches up, especially the bathrooms, having people going into those bathrooms. That's very, very dangerous. And in Jacksonville, everybody got to see those pictures. And if you do decide to open up the beach, then there should be no lawn chairs. Something similar to what they've been doing in other areas is no lawn chairs, no towels, just walking. But I think that we should wait until May 1st because we will be flooded with people from Thomasville or from Georgia. And all you're doing is increasing the curve that we have worked so hard to flatten. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Jessica, anybody else?
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Any more discussion by the commissioners?
We'll follow up comment, Mr. Chairman.
Let Commissioner Hess go, and then we'll get you, Carl.
So right now, there's more cases of COVID in Tallahassee than we had when we put this in place. You know, it seems that we're getting ahead of the curve here. You know, they're still having large increases in Tallahassee, and we're going to be following what happens in Tallahassee. And so we have to be real careful about what we do here. You know, I don't have a problem with opening the beach for, you know, walking and that kind of stuff, but we have to put some limits on it. You know, in Jacksonville, they put on no towels, no blankets. You couldn't have barbecues, those kind of things, so that you didn't have a party atmosphere, but people could still go down and use the beach. Wouldn't be more appropriate?
Ralph, what do you say to that?
I think it's important for us to note that the social distancing and the isolating at home, that was never intended to lock anyone down until we eradicated the virus. The intent was that is to make sure that the virus did not overwhelm our healthcare system. I think our results here locally have shown that we have not overwhelmed the healthcare system. I think they're dealing with it very nicely. Certainly we have more positive cases, but I believe last time I looked, there's one death in Leon County, one death in Wakulla County, sad and tragic, and one death is too many, but it certainly does not overwhelm the healthcare system. I think we're going to continue to see this virus test positive, but I think we have to get back to some semblance of normalcy. And it's important to note that just because we may make some changes and start opening things back up, the recommendation is still in place of groups smaller than 10 and to remain 6 feet apart. You know, we're not changing any of that. Certainly, I think we're in a new world where we don't need to be shaking everyone's hand and hugging their neck as we're accustomed to do. You know, we just need to have common sense. We need to be safe. We need to be smart. But we need to get back to living again.
I'd like to also say that in what we're doing, we're still keeping the library closed. We're still not renting out the community center and all that stuff, right, David?
That's right.
We're not resuming youth programs, so we're not encouraging groups. We're not doing anything at the agricultural center. So it's not like we're just saying we're done with this. So I'm fine with it.
Commissioner Messersmith, what's your thoughts? You live down there. You're our coastal commissioner. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm with Ralph in that it depends on which way you look at it. We got 10 more days of this, yet if people are going to abide by the rules, they're going to do that regardless of if we open it up now or we open it up in 10 more days.
True. Good point.
So, I mean, the parking space thing, I mean, David, we can get through that, can we not, with Cody?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
And then after we do that, if Ralph's talking about opening up the parking lot behind, in front of the old Taft House, correct, Ralph?
Yes.
So are we going to, like, start telling people how many people they can bring with them to the beach? And that's what I'm saying. So it does, you know.
Well, the main thing is we're not allowing people to park on the right-of-way and really overcrowd the beach. So it's going to inherently restrict the number of people that can be there because we don't have that many parking spaces.
And there is a deputy down there.
Okay. I'm fine with it. I think it's. I think we need to ease back into, like you said, some normalcy, and I'm hoping people will adhere to the CDC guidelines, and that's all we can ask for, and expect people to try to abide by that. I think we'll all get along fine.
Do we allow people to park at the boat ramp, or is that just for people with trailers?
it's supposed, the parking there is supposed to be for boats with trailers, and we have a couple parking spots for those that, you know, come along with folks that are going to go fishing.
I don't want anybody to, you know, shut down the boat ramp because they want to park their car and walk to the beach. So let's just make sure we enforce that.
Okay.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Jared?
Hmm?
Who's going to enforce it, Jared?
Yeah, that would have to be the Sheriff's Department. We'll coordinate with them.
Okay.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I want to hear a motion, please.
Heather, can you read that motion back to us?
I have moved to approve the recommendations included in the agenda item, but to have the bathrooms open at the beaches and to not limit the parking at Shell Point to just the beachside parking, but to have both lots open and to also open other areas of the county government if it can be done without violating the governor's existing executive order.
Effective immediately.
I'm sorry, what about the Newport campground? I thought that was one of the conditions to reopen.
You still want that route?
Motion too, Heather, to resume normal operations, I guess, at Newport. And what about the bathroom at Newport? Are we going to open that?
Well, if we resume normal operations, yes, we have to open.
Okay. Yeah, you have to.
We've straightened it right now, but yes, it would be open.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Chairman, one additional thing that just popped into my head. We don't have a lot of designated parking down at Mashes Sands. I assume we're going to remove the barriers, but
pretty much takes care of it.
On the side of the road, it's not blocking other vehicle or traffic or neighborhoods.
Yeah, the idea is pretty much going to take care of itself.
As long as we don't have, I agree, as long as we don't have cars parked, and you know we may very well have them parked all the way up Mashes Sands Road there.
We'll have to monitor that, and if so, we'll come in and put some no parking signs up when they get past the boat ramp.
I know folks are eager to get back on the beach, and we're going to see, you know, we're going to be one of the only counties around with them open, so, you know, we're inviting a lot of folks in, so just be prepared for that influx. But okay, no more discussion. Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merritt?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Next item.
The next item is to request board approval to allow certain county advisory committees and boards to also conduct meetings by communications media technology.
Motion to approve.
And let's hear what they are.
Sure, this would apply to the LMS working group, the 1 cent sales tax committee, and the audit committee.
Okay. Can commissioners, you think of any others that need to be included in that?
I mean, I think any group that needs to meet and conduct county business should be allowed to do it via like this, if they're not allowed to meet in a group.
I agree.
All right. We'll have a second to Commissioner Merritt's motion.
Second.
Second. Thomas. Okay. Any more discussion? Any citizens to be heard, Jessica?
No.
Heather, you got that? We're just going to say anybody that needs to meet can do it like that?
Well, right now, I mean, I think these are the only three that we have identified that need to be meeting between now and the expiration of that authorization, which is May 8th.
Okay.
And so that it's kind of a limited time.
Okay.
Okay. Hearing no more discussion, Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion passes 5-0. Does that cover everything?
Those are all the add-ons, yes.
Okay. Now we will move on to, there's no public hearings, planning and zoning.
All right, I'm gonna introduce each of these items and we'll go through our quasi-judicial procedures and disclosures, and then we will let Summer do her explanation of each item, and then we'll do a motion, a second, and public comment. Tab 13 is an application for final plat FP 2004. This is for Chadwick Estate subdivision phase one. This is a final plat for a 78 lot subdivision near the intersection of Old Bethel and Wakulla Aaron Roads. Commissioners, in accordance with section 24.01 of the county code, each commission member needs to disclose any contact you may have received from interested parties regarding this application. Commissioner Messersmith.
Patricia Candler.
Commissioner Merritt.
I did talk to Mr. Parrish a few weeks ago about just scheduling the vote, but not about the actual plat.
Okay. Commissioner Hess.
Nothing on this one.
Commissioner Thomas.
I believe I received an email from Ms. Candler as well.
And Commissioner Stewart.
None.
Can I make a motion to approve now?
No, not yet. Summer.
I'm here.
Okay. I'm gonna swear you in for all of the QJ items that are on tonight's agenda. You'll remain sworn after this. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Summer is now going to walk you through this agenda item, and then we can follow our typical procedures for a motion, a second, and public comment.
Yes, so item number 13 is the request for final plat approval of phase one of the Chadwick Estates subdivision. This is a 78 lot residential subdivision. To date, all of the required infrastructure needed to serve this development has been installed at the site, with the exception of the final lift of asphalt. The developer has posted a performance bond in the amount of 125% of the cost of construction of that final lift of asphalt. The developer has also entered into an agreement to perform those outstanding improvements and has indicated those improvements will be complete by August 1st of this year. Staff is recommending option one for approval of the final plat, as well as acceptance of the performance bond and infrastructure improvement agreement.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Messersmith. Do we have any citizens to be heard?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The first citizen to be heard is Billy Colbert.
Okay, Billy, do you need to speak to us?
I was just here to answer any questions if the board had.
Okay, Mr. Colbert, real quick, can I get you sworn in, please? Please raise your hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And can you please state your address for the record?
It's 2851 Remington Green Circle.
Thank you.
No questions from me.
Hey, Jessica, anybody else?
That's it.
Only citizen to be heard, okay. Any questions for this gentleman from the board?
So both the phase one and phase two will be done by August?
That is what has been indicated and discussed with the developer and his agent.
So he'll have 250 houses, you know, buildable lots ready in August?
In Chadwick only contains 141 total. The 78 before you tonight on final plat, and the remaining will be a total of 141 lots.
Okay, 141 lots. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any more discussion?
Well, I'll say that, you know, I would much rather see a preliminary plat than a final plat, because the final plat has already done all the work, but just my own opinion on that. But it's, I guess we have to.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Mayor?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas? Mr. Thomas, how do you vote?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Next item.
Aye.
All right. The next item is tab 14. This is an application for change of zoning R20-01. This is by Palmetto of Wakulla County. This is a change of zoning for a 80 lot subdivision, I believe, near Wakulla, Aaron, and Old Bethel. Summer, you're already sworn in, so I will first do the ex parte disclosures and then turn it over to you. Commissioner Messersmith, any ex parte disclosures?
No.
I didn't. Okay. Commissioner Merritt?
No.
Commissioner Hess?
Got some emails on it.
Okay. Commissioner Thomas?
None.
Commissioner Stewart?
None.
Okay. Summer?
Yes, this rezoning request is for a 40-acre parcel located on the south side of Wakulla Aaron Road at its intersection with Old Bethel Road. This rezoning request is from agriculture to PUD, a planned unit development, which would ultimately, if approved, permit up to 80 single-family residential lots on this 40-acre parcel. The current future land use designation of urban fringe does permit this type of density. The Planning Commission reviewed this application at their March meeting and did recommend unanimously for approval. If approved, again, this would allow for an 80-lot subdivision, of which a preliminary plat would come back for consideration before the Planning Commission before construction could commence on this site. Staff is recommending option one for approval.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve by Mr. Merritt, seconded by Mr. Thomas.
Summer, I thought with the PUD, you had to have the preliminary plat as part of the PUD document.
That was historically a provision in the PUD section of the code, but that code section was amended probably 6 or 7 years ago.
I think that's when we put an expiration date on it too, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
So now with the PUD, you just get the zoning. Then you come back with a preliminary plat, just like any other zoning.
That's correct.
And absolutely. What's the reason for PUD here instead of a normal zoning category?
To allow for the clustering of lots. If you were to do half acre lot sizes, then you would not be able to maximize density.
Okay.
And so this
it's PUD allows, because there's no zoning category that matches the future land use that would maximize their use of it.
That's correct. And this also allows for them, the clustering would allow for them to provide open space and common area to serve the development as well.
And there's certain restrictions on PUDs they have to meet too. Extra green space or sidewalks and all this other stuff. I just make sure people understand that if you're doing PUD, it's not just a blank check.
That's correct.
Okay. Citizens to be heard, Jessica?
Yes, sir. The first citizen is Billy Colbert.
Hey, Billy, you're still sworn in. So is that right, Heather?
Jessica's got her muted.
Dogs. Dogs.
There you go, Heather.
Heather,
yes. Bill, you're still sworn in.
Okay. Billy, do you have anything to say other than if just for questions?
Well, I'm here for a question. I just wanted to point out that, yeah, in addition to the standard zoning, we did this PUD to allow for recreational areas and sidewalks and additional amenities for the neighborhood, so.
Okay. Any more discussion by the board?
Any more citizens?
Yes, we do have another citizen. The next citizen is Gary Hegg.
Hey, Gary.
Can you hear me?
Mr. Hegg?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we need to swear you in, Gary.
All right.
Okay, please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Gary Hegg. I live at 40 Garner Circle East in Crawfordville, Florida.
Thank you. Can you please raise your hand to be sworn? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. When this project went through the comp plan approval process, several things were still pending, at least in my mind. Has any space been freed up with the high school? Unless we're going to do everything online in the future with the high school, no capacity for this increased student load is there at the high school. We should never have approved it in the first place without this increased capacity. You know, so this infrastructure is really not in place to absorb the impact of this new development. Another part of the infrastructure that was pending the comp plan phase was the approval of the sewer system. At the time, the county letter did not say that there was enough, they could not guarantee that there was enough sewer capacity for this neighborhood. And that was a direct quote out of their letter. Has that changed? And where's the documentation saying that we have enough capacity now? Then there's the roads. Obviously placing an estimated 800 plus cars on McCullough, Aaron, Old Bethel, East Ivan will not be good for local traffic. The current residents will have to wait in longer lines. There'll be more accidents. And the quality of life of those who've lived here and paid taxes for years will be deteriorated. Why are you doing this to us? You know, I mean, we grow a community, so we need to grow it smart and not just all at once. There's over 800, you know, I mean, if you look at this intersection, the amount of cars that are gonna be there in the close future is just way too much. I don't think that we need this. You guys needed a good reason to stop the zoning request. I just gave you two. The school's overloaded and the sewer system is not at capacity. Please vote no on this request.
Okay, thank you, sir. David, can you answer the question about sewer capacity?
Yes, the sewer capacity, we're right now, we have one of our plants down doing a retrofit. So as soon as that is completed, which will be probably October or November at the latest, our capacity will be fine to handle that. Now, what we will have to do this year, we will begin the process of engineering for a new treatment plant as long as that we'll need that, but we'll do the engineering for that and then construct that plant in a couple of years. But right now, we're good.
Right now, David, you've got enough capacity for two more years of growth. And if we keep doing our McCullough Gardens project, and how long does it take to build a new sewer plant?
Takes about a year and a half. We have enough capacity. That's the reason I do the sheet that I've got. We keep track of that. That is an aggressive schedule. And all that stuff is factored in there. And we've also built in extra capacity in our plant to be able to handle above a 1.2, we can actually go to 1.8. We can't do that forever, but we can do that. It'll still continue to treat properly, but it's rated for 1.2, but we can go to 1.8 MGD until we get our other plant built.
And also, Chuck, once you hit a certain percentage of flow, I don't know if it's 80%, 90%, 95%, DEP makes you put a moratorium on new hookups. So that shut down any new construction.
And
right.
That's the reason we're going to be moving forward. I realize the schedule that I sent you guys was extremely aggressive. You know, we don't know what the economy is going to be in the future. And that was assuming a quick build out on all subdivisions and no hiccups here and there. And as you know, being in the business or being there's always hiccups somewhere down the line. So but we've got a plan to handle it, and we'll be bringing back more information in the future because we have larger plans that we need to put in place in that development corridor.
Well, I still have problems with the sewer thing, because when was the last time we had an increase in our access fee on sewer?
It's been a while, and that's something that we're going to be looking at as well. That'll be a part of this, and the sewer system is not a problem.
no reason to turn this development down because of the sewer.
I brought up the excess fee several times, Chuck, to David. I certainly think we need to raise it.
We're going to raise it. I got to get the right number, and I'm working on that number. And it's not something I can't create overnight. I've got engineers working on that right now.
Is that going to be part of the feasibility study? Are we going to
actual the feasibility study will be just for the plan itself. That is already underway right now. That'll be completed in June. But this will actually be what our future investment is going to be. We've got quite a bit of things. I've rolled out a little bit of that to you guys. What was that, 2 weeks ago? I think I rolled out some of that. Here's our plan for some transmission mains, a master pump station, and then a redirection of the 319 force main. All that we're going to bring to y'all in one big package and say, here's the ticket for that, and here's how we propose to pay for it, and then here will be the access fees that will be based upon that.
So, but we've had all these grants that have allowed us to build this system, and you know, we can't count on grants going forward. We have to make this enterprise area actually pay for itself, and I can't see that it has over the last 10-15 years.
Well, we've got money in the bank. It's actually paid for itself where we are right now, luckily through grants. But like I say,
David, you get a $20 million grant to do something, you're posted in an enterprise zone. You should end up at the end of that plant having $20 million to build a new one.
Can we vote on the rezoning?
Mr. Chairman, you do have another speaker. Rena Snyder.
Okay.
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Reno Schneider, 1448 Wakulla Aaron Road.
And please raise your hand to be sworn. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Thank you.
Just with concerns with the changes on the roadways, I live right there on the corner there of Fort Wakulla Aaron and Old Bethel. We moved here about 2 years ago and were approached by the county about road changes then, way before the development of the two projects, and never heard nothing back. And here a year ago was approached by the contractor on road changes and haven't heard nothing back on that. And was mention of eminent domain. I just kind of wanted to go on public record that's happened, and kind of just in questioning on, is there going to be changes on the road, or where was that at, if that's something that could be addressed here?
We will be in, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
We'll be back in touch with you. We thought the developer had already talked to you about all that, and we can be back in touch with you.
All right. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, any more citizens, Jessica?
That's it.
Okay, any more discussion about the board?
One comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I think David properly addressed the sewer capacity issue. I also heard a concern about the school capacity. I personally spoke with the superintendent, and he assured me that he is not at over capacity, and he is not concerned that this development will put him there, and certainly he gave me permission to convey that fact.
Okay. Any more discussion? Hearing none, Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
I'm going to be opposing it because I think that we're just growing too fast in this area. That's my opinion.
Your vote's no.
No.
Okay. Mr. Messerschmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 4-1. Okay, next item,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tab 15 is an application for a change of zoning R20-02. This is from Persica Design and Construction. This is dealing with the villas at Covington. It is a change from residential townhome to high density residential. Commissioner Messersmith, do you have any ex parte disclosures regarding this item?
None.
Commissioner Merritt?
No.
Commissioner Hess?
No.
Commissioner Thomas?
None.
And Commissioner Stewart?
None.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to Summer.
Yes, this request to rezone 6 vacant lots in the Villas at Covington subdivision, which is located on the north side of Aaron Road. This subdivision was developed under the RTH zoning district originally. However, 6 lots currently remain vacant and unbuilt on. A few years back, the board approved ordinances amending the land development code related to certain zoning district regulations, which changed the zoning district RTH definitions to require a minimum of 3 attached structures in order to be classified as a townhome for the purpose of zoning. The intent of the current owner is to build single family attached homes, which would consist of 2 units sharing a common wall on 2 separate lots, which is the current makeup of that development as it stands today in the existing homes in that area. Approval of this rezoning would accommodate the continued development as it currently stands.
I'll second Chuck's motion. Thanks, Chuck.
We have a motion by Commissioner Hess, seconded by Commissioner Merritt. Any citizens to be heard?
No citizens on this item.
Any more discussion by the board? Hearing none. Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merritt?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
I vote aye as well. The motion carries 5-0. Next item.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, is tab 16 on the agenda. This is an application for a change of zoning R20-03. This is with Golden Construction Company. This is to change from ag to RR2. This would impact probably about between 24 and 25 lots would result. This is on the east side of Woodville Highway, just south of Ann Circle. Commissioner Messersmith, do you have any ex parte communications?
No.
Commissioner Merritt?
I'm sure I've talked to the applicant.
Commissioner Hess?
No.
Commissioner Thomas?
None.
And Commissioner Stewart?
None.
Thank you. I'll turn it over to Summer.
This rezoning request would change the zoning from agriculture to RR2, a rural residential zoning category that would permit 1 home per 2 acres, maximum density with the requirement that central water be connected. If approved, the maximum density that would be available would be approximately 24-25 lots on this overall parent parcel.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion. Commissioner Merritt, seconded by Commissioner Thomas. Any citizens to be heard, Jessica?
Yes, your first citizen is Robbie Miller.
Hey, Robbie, you need to be sworn in.
He doesn't need to swear in if he doesn't speak, does he?
What?
He doesn't need to swear in if he don't speak.
Robbie, please state your name and address for the record.
Robbie Miller, 143 Rio Vista Drive.
And raise your hand to be sworn. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Robbie, you just here for questions? Or you
here for questions.
Okay. Board, you have any questions for Robbie?
No. Okay.
Hearing none. Any more discussion on the item?
This item matches the development just north of it, right?
Actually, these lots will be about roughly an acre larger than the lots along Ann Circle, which average about 1 acre in size. So this will be a little bit less dense than that development.
Okay.
Okay. Any more discussion? Mr. Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item is tab 17 on your agenda. This is request board approval of a conditional use 2001 transfer. This is from Wakulla County for the Riversink Water Service Area conditional use to Talquin Water and Wastewater. This is to coincide with the transfer of the Riversink system to Talquin, which is scheduled to occur on the 30th of this month.
Motion to approve.
And can you make that one addition, Commissioner Merritt, if you could make that conditioned upon the transfer on April 30th.
I'll accept that amendment.
Ralph, is that okay?
Yes.
You have a motion and a second.
Hold on. This is actually a QJ item, I'm sorry. Any of you have any ex parte communications? Commissioner Messersmith?
None.
Commissioner Merritt?
Just staff.
Commissioner Hess?
No.
Commissioner Thomas?
None.
And Commissioner Stewart?
I spoke with David Miller, who is one of the Talquin Electric board members.
Very good. And I didn't note who made the second. I have Commissioner Merritt as moving it.
Mr. Thomas did.
Thank you.
Okay, any more discussion? Any citizens, Jessica?
No citizens on this item.
Any more discussion by the board? I'll make sure everybody understands once we give away this area, then that's gone forever, water service. So it's making that clear. I'm certainly for it. Just want to make sure everybody understands that.
And we're not giving it away. We're getting paid very well for it.
Right, but we can never go back in the water business there is my point.
I understand it.
County.
It's a very limited, isolated area that doesn't serve well for expansion either.
But you know, I've been against it from the beginning because I think we're not getting enough money for it. But it's, you know, that's already over, that water is over the dam. So making this transfer is something we have to do.
Well, maybe they'll jack up Randy's bill since he lives there.
I'm not on water. I'm on well.
Okay.
I can see the water tower from my house. That's why it's not a very good area.
Any more discussion?
Just one comment just to point out to the public that taxpayers have been subsidizing this system for some time now. Not only are we selling it, we're also ending the subsidy.
Exactly. If you're going to be in the water business, you need to be out in it throughout the county. And that's, you know, we're not going to ever be able to do that as a county entity, but that's okay. We got some good people running our water systems in the county. And all right. So Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Okay. Tab 18.
And tab 18 is not a quasi-judicial item, Mr. Chairman, so I'll turn that over to Summer.
Okay, Summer.
Yes, this item requests the board's approval to amend the text in the comprehensive plan related to the public schools facility element and the capital improvements element. This is an annual update required by the state, and we do conduct this update to these policies in the comp plan yearly.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I'm going to let you finish, Summer. That seems rude.
No worries. The amendments related to the public schools facility include just a change and update to the date related to their educational facilities work plan. And the changes to the CIE include both infrastructure improvements related to sewer and roads, changing the projected dates for completion of those projects.
And Summer told me this is not something that requires data analysis because I had a whole bunch of the things I wanted to see change, but she convinced me not to even bring them up till they can, and we'll address it at a later time.
And I have made note of those issues so that we can go back through and make sure there won't be any conflicts in other policies of the comp plan, and we can bring that up at another time.
Just for example, Mike, one of the things on there is for Wakulla County is going to conduct a hazardous waste storage facility. We're never going to do that, you know, so we might as well just take it off the list.
Right. Okay. No more discussion. Mr. Hess, how do you vote?
Just changing the dates, right?
Just changing the dates, that's correct. Okay.
All right. Mr. Hess, how you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. That motion carries 5-0. And that finishes all those items, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Good job, Summer.
Thanks, Randy.
Commissioner agenda items, I have one item on here, and that's Wakulla Springs Lodge letter of support. I think all of you have seen that. I know I see one of the folks in the audience there that might want to speak to it. Madeline Carr, did she fill out a card, Jessica?
No, she did not.
Okay, well, we'll call on her if she needs to be. If y'all need to ask her any questions, we'll call on her. But I'll just read the letter for the record. It says, to whom it may concern, the Wakulla County Panacea Explorers. I'm sorry, that's not the right one, is it? My brain did. Dear Secretary Lee.
I got it here, Mike, if you want me to read it.
Wakulla County Board of County Commissioners is writing to ask that you help us generate economic development, stimulate job creation, and help to preserve the national heritage in our community by supporting the preservation and restoration of Wakulla Springs Lodge. This National Archaeological and Historic District is seeking $500,000 for fiscal years 2022 through 23 for the 89-year-old structure. Of this total request, it is particularly important to assure the safety of the structure that has issues with water intrusion at warped doors and windows. An additional concern that the funding will address is the safety to visitors who use the ancient, albeit quaint, elevator. Yours and the legislators' support provide the tools needed to revitalize, rehabilitate, and protect the places that give meaning not only to the lodge at Wakulla Springs State Park, but to America. In our county, such grant funding helps to bring in more than 250,000 visitors from around the world who enjoy the lodge and the park. Funding these essential historic preservation programs represents a true investment in America's legacy multiplied many times over through public-private economic partnerships and ventures. Most importantly, it creates much-needed jobs and ensures the protection of our natural historic resources. Sincerely, and if you approve it, it'll be signed by me.
On behalf Motion of to approve.
Second. We have a motion and second by Commissioner Hess. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to thank you for bringing this forward. It's real important. Wakulla Springs is real important to the county and real important to our tourist activities.
Yep, I agree.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Madeline Carr she would like to speak.
Okay, Madeline, go ahead.
Hi. I've been following this. Madeline Carr, 223 Iroquois Road, Crawfordville. Thank you very much for approving this letter. I guess it's already approved, right?
It will be.
Okay. Well, thank you. And if you have any questions, I'm here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madeline, for bringing it. You're truly the one who brought it forward and asked me to get it on the agenda. So I had little to do with it other than that. And I appreciate you guys' concern for that park over there. I mean, that's really a diamond in the rough here in our county, and we appreciate you taking care of it.
Thanks, Madeline.
Thank you, Madeline.
Any more discussion? You're welcome. Okay, Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Mr. Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so the motion carries 5-0. Thank y'all. I'll do it under my items here at the end, but go ahead. Is there, County Attorney, you have anything?
Nothing additional this evening, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, County Administrator.
I think y'all heard enough from me.
Did your counterpart have something?
I see Brandy.
Brandy needs to
know. Brandy, I think you took care of all that during our meetings, right?
Brandy, did you have some more to add? Okay, you go ahead, girl. You're muted. Hold on, Jessica's got to get you unmuted.
I'm trying.
Can you hear now, Brandy?
There we go. It seems like a long time ago, but back in March, we had a workshop on our procurement ordinance revisions. And one of the major changes we were planning was to do away with the local preference section. So I just wanted to make sure before we move forward with the schedule and advertise the public hearing that that's still the consensus among the board due to the COVID. I wasn't sure if any feelings had changed about that.
I'm good with it. Move ahead.
I'm good.
Me too.
Go ahead.
Okay. Got it. That's what I had.
That's all you had.
Other than, I mean, I think we missed it with a couple of the commissioners today, just about the check registers when you're reviewing the transactions that you're approving. Just understand that there is a delay in something when they're actually purchased and when they hit the register. So if you see something like travel, that's not happening now. We've cut that off, but it was something that was already approved or maybe from the end of February, early March, before COVID changed our lives. So just understand that delay. So if you see anything that you have questions about, just let me know and I can get you invoice copies and let you know what happened, why you're seeing something that maybe you think is a little strange. Okay. That's all I had.
All right, that was your timer right there.
Woo!
Perfect. All right, do we have any citizens to be heard now, Jessica?
No, sir, no citizens to be heard.
Okay, discussion issues by commissioners. We'll start with Commissioner Hess.
Yeah, when the COVID and the stay-home orders really has brought internet and the need for expanding our internet to the forefront, and we really need to have some plan on how we're going to get internet expanded across the county, because a lot of people can't work at home in the current environment we have. And we need to come up with a solution for that.
Well, it's not our internet, Chuck. We have absolutely no control over that. We can request.
We have an interest in serving our citizens and our
citizens. I agree. If we could get everybody 25 gig of whatever internet, I'd support in a second. But we've all had calls from people in Sweetwater Ridge, and I don't know what to tell them. Comcast won't run cable in there, so.
I know David has
the illusion that the board could just vote to have internet in Smith Creek, and it happened. We just can't do that.
David, where are we at with the internet? I mean, you've been trying to work with folks.
We met with Verizon, and it's promising what they were able to talk about, but that was also pre-COVID, and I reached back out to them last week, haven't heard anything yet. But there's a possibility that, we were talking about them extending 5G service into Crawfordville. That is a distinct possibility, then expanding out their internet service from there. But like I say, that was pre-COVID, and they're distracted right now because they're adding capacity to their system elsewhere, existing capacity. So I'm sure as soon as this is over, we'll get back up with them, as well as I'm sure that that will be the top topic for the entire state of Florida and the entire United States when all this is said and done.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot more visibility with it, Chuck, because of just that. I mean, rural areas, not just Wakulla, but rural areas all over this country who are facing the same dilemma we are.
I know, and we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can in every meeting and every opportunity we have to talk about it. So,
I agree. Okay, Commissioner Mazursmith, any items?
No, sir.
Commissioner Merritt?
I already vetted to Chuck about 309 at the beginning of the meeting, so I won't bore him with it again.
Okay, Commissioner Thomas? Commissioner Thomas?
Nothing else, thank you.
Have you got a green board behind you, Ralph?
Nothing else.
I say, have you got a green board behind you and you keep changing the scenes?
You got to have some entertainment.
Ralph, I'm admiring your scenery behind you.
I'm at the beach now that it's opened.
I have a couple items, if y'all will indulge me here. I had one that came to me very late today that if we can deal with, I hope we can get a 5-0 vote. And that's for the – I'm going to read it into the record here. It's a letter that the 4-H program needs approved for a grant application. There's no matching to it. Here's what it says. To whom it may concern, the Wakulla County Panacea Explorers 4-H program is an after-school program providing youth a weekly opportunity for positive engagement and is staffed solely by volunteers in partnership with the Wakulla County 4-H program. The Panacea Explorers have accomplished much over the last 2 years, such as improved school attendance, reading achievement for youth participants, positive behavior changes, and healthier food choices. Panacea community, as with many small rural communities, faces economic hardships and often high crime rates. These challenges are difficult to overcome and often present more setbacks than positive achievements. The Panacea Explorers are in need of funding for programs and opportunities to help ensure success along their road to adulthood. Therefore, this letter is being provided on behalf of the Wakulla County Board of County Commissioners in support of the Wakulla County 4-H program, seeking grant funds in the amount of $338,000. These funds, if awarded, will provide a myriad of goal-oriented programs focused on positive outcomes for the Panacea Explorers 4-H participants. Do I hear a motion?
Approved. Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? There's no match.
Commissioner, you should see if there's any citizen comment on this item.
Okay. Jessica, do we have any citizens?
No, sir.
Okay. Any discussion by the board?
Good job, Mike.
Okay. Commissioner Hess?
Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merrick?
Aye.
Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries 5-0. Thank y'all for allowing me to do that here at the last minute. A couple other things I wanted to ask. And I hate to bring this up again, but I just feel like I need to for the sake of the citizens. I've talked to staff, but I just wanted to make it public again. I'm still frustrated with subdivisions that we approve with buffers that there's no teeth left for the board after it's done. It's all handed over to the homeowner association and we can't do anything. The example is on High Drive again with Audubon Forest. I guess what I'm asking is that if the board would allow us to draft a letter from the board to the homeowner association saying something to the effect of, you know, the buffer has been violated on numerous occasions. Can y'all please try to regulate that?
Yeah, we can't make a problem with that.
Just got, you know, I just want to ask them to look at it.
I got no problem. Anybody have a problem?
No problem.
Okay, so do we need to get a motion and a second then to draft the letter?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to draft such a letter. Any discussion? All for the motion. Aye. Chuck Hess.
Roll call.
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner Messersmith.
Aye.
Mr. Merrick.
Aye.
Mr. Thomas.
Aye.
And I'm fine with it. So that will pass. And if y'all will draft that letter, I'll be glad to sign it on behalf of the board. Thank y'all very much for that. One last thing. And this is sort of frustrating me. I want to see the property appraiser's office opened. At least we're getting calls that people can't resolve their business. I know we've called on the second in charge over there to kind of step up and take over. And I think that's happening, but I guess what I'm asking is if you think it's worth doing is for us to draft a letter to the governor and ask him to expedite appointing someone to come in. And I really want to see it be an outside person that's that's going to come in and run the office in the interim, because we're kind of getting down to the shore here of needing the values done for the property, and that I think that happens in June. Is that correct? That's right, correct. Randy. The trim notices. So, I mean, we don't have a lot of time to waste, folks, and somebody's got to come in and figure out what's going on over there and get it moving ahead.
I'll make a motion that we draft a letter, authorize the chairman to draft a letter to the governor, ask him to hurry up and appoint someone.
Mr. Chairman, I told you earlier, I talked with James and over there, and his number one goal is to get the trim out on time, and we're actually meeting with him tomorrow on that.
Okay, but we still need somebody in that office.
And I can talk to him about that tomorrow. I'm not sure whether the governor. I'm sure the governor's moving forward. But anyway, we're going to talk to him about that. We will relay that tomorrow with him. I'm meeting myself and him and Greg James and Brandy, and we're meeting tomorrow. We'll relay that message as well.
And I'm sure James will do a good job. My point is that we need a constitutional officer. He is not a constitutional officer. He's just an employee. So that's my point. So we need a constitutional officer there. Is anybody?
I made the motion to write the letter.
Okay, we have a motion to write the letter. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Commissioner Hess. Any more discussion by the board? Ralph, your thoughts?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, James is a designated deputy property appraiser. I think we need to let him step up and assume that role. If the governor intervenes, then that's certainly his prerogative. But I think we need to give him a chance to do that job.
I think James will do a great job also, but I think what Mike is saying is the governor has to appoint a new property appraiser. And if he chooses to pick James, then fine. If he chooses somebody else, then fine too. But just need to do it sooner rather than later.
I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with the letter, but Mr. Stewart, I heard you say you wanted to be an outside person. I don't know that necessarily needs to be in the letter. The deputy property appraiser.
No, absolutely.
Very experienced.
I agree. I have no problem with that. I didn't mean for us to say that in the letter. That's just my
time frame is all you meant to say, right?
Just, yes.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
I'll support that.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second then. Commissioner Hess, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Messersmith?
Aye.
Commissioner Merritt?
Aye.
Mr. Thomas?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well, so that motion carries. Okay. Did I miss anybody? Commissioner Thomas, you didn't have anything else?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. So, I think that's it, guys. We got through another meeting successfully. I appreciate your help in getting through this. I know we had a lot of atoms that come on at the end, but things are changing like hourly. And I'm hoping this may be our last meeting we have like this. We may have to have one more, but it certainly has been a fun time doing this. And we thanks to Jessica and the staff.
Jessica, yep.
Just through this. Okay, any more comments? If not, we're adjourned.
Have a good evening.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, sir.